You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Hey, we're live.
Are we?
Yeah, it says it.
Okay. I mean, it's not like I have any access to that kind of information.
If you looked at your screen, we can't curse in the first, what is it, 7 minutes?
10 minutes. Yeah, now.
You're the, 10 minutes.
You bring up these, you look up these facts, these YouTube facts.
Is the problem. You bring this all up. Things I say are facts.
You bring up.
I want everyone to know under no circumstances have I made the assumption, or you should make the assumption,
you bring up
that the things I say are facts.
You bring up all these details, SEO this, SEO that, and then you don't even remember the things that you mention on this show and the things that you research. Where does the information go?
See, again, you're assuming I research. No, I should start all my senses with you. You know what I heard? And then maybe you wouldn't be thinking I'm coming up with any of these things on my own or through diligent research. I got no sources.
Okay. So I don't know where he's getting this information from, but whatever. Feel free to curse as much as possible. Everyone else.
Yeah, no, y'all better wait 10 minutes in the chat. We don't know what this algorithm is up to.
All right, everybody. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the show. Let me lower. Our mics again picked up everywhere else. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Okay. Come on. Look at this. It's like a cavalcade of sounds.
Look at that.
I don't even know if I used cavalcade
I think
correctly.
You did. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say cornucopia.
That works too.
I went with one less syllable. Let me start the show off by saying, yo, damn, we got your back, bruh. Stephen A. Well, yo, I'm going to find out where he lives, bruh. don't worry about it.
I don't think you're getting into that gated community. Right?
Bruh, don't worry about it, bro. We got your back. Where's he live? He live up here, don't he?
For some reason, I also feel like I have to defend David Sampson for some reason. Because everybody's coming after him as well.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of frustration, I guess. I mean, look, he has a history of breaking a lot of people's hearts in different baseball franchises. But I don't know. He's on the same team. I gotta get his back, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we got the whole team's back. Just whisper in our ear if we shouldn't, you know?
Somebody tell us if we are on the right side of history.
Yeah, you let us know if you the baddie, and we won't get you. We'll say it.
It's like that meme, you know? Are we the baddie?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. I don't know. We're the one with the skulls on our hats. It's a great sketch.
All right. Welcome. Look, it's obviously,
we ain't on the Stephen A. Network. We on the Dan Levitard Network, bro.
Okay. And Friends.
Yeah. Right. Friends. That's right. So not Stephen A. He gets all the smoke. You get it all, bro. So, all I hear is this.
This is obviously shouts to U.S. We're going to focus on all things American soccer today.
Right.
And there's a lot.
Nothing more American than soccer.
Okay. It's going to be a packed
show. We got allegation reveals, gender reveals, lineup reveals. We got a lot of reveals.
We got a lot going on. It's going to be a packed show. Look, already people are asking what happened to LeJet. Should we start there? Because this is a difficult situation.
I know this was
situation.
A touchy subject because when I tweeted out two, you know, visual memes, and Christian immediately jumped in the text like, hey, yo, you need to chill.
Things are a little hot right now. I'm not trying to get a cease and desist.
Yo, you making it wild hot, and you might get us sued, bro. So he's like, you need to calmate. And I was like, bro, it's just those two things.
So look, there were rumors, and if anybody is not aware, obviously Sebastian LeJet currently plays for FC Dallas. He was previously at the New England Revolution, and before that he was at LA Galaxy. Also,
2 months ago, proposed to his lady.
Yes, and
Becky G.
And also, the Becky G. and Sebastian Legette have been on this show.
Both of them.
Okay, and that was literally one of the wildest gets that we've ever had.
The most important part of this story is that Becky G knows who we are.
Becky G.
That's not, top of the list.
Not only is Becky G a former guest on this program, she knows who we are. She also, when Sebastian Legette first did our show, she had listened to that episode.
And that not only knows who we are, has listened to this show.
And she was like, you guys are so funny. And she was so complimentary.
Again, now, new breaking news. Becky G might not have the best taste in the world. Thinks we're funny.
Okay. All right, but we're not here to question her decisions.
No. She didn't do nothing wrong besides listen to our show.
But this is the rumor, and there was a lot of drama the last couple days about Sebastian Legette possibly a little infidelity.
What came out is a woman showed screen caps of her trying to reach out to Becky G saying, I've got nude photos
so
of your man.
I heard a man trying someone to reach out. Someone reached out.
Reached out.
Someone with some bass in their voice.
Right. And then they showed a video of Sebastian Legette and I believe Jesus Ferreira
at a nightclub or something.
But nothing wrong was happening in the nightclub. They were just in the nightclub.
Exactly. It was just somebody saying that they had salacious.
But then there was also a voice note, and the voice note, you can decide. There was
allegedly.
You can decide whether you think that's him or not. The person who is suggesting that they had a voice note of Sebastian Legette, they released this. And it's someone, a male, saying, hey, this was 10 minutes of weakness. Or no, that's the
statement.
It was just a moment of weakness, blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't be doing this. I have a girl. I shouldn't be doing this. And that's all we know. Becky G didn't say nothing. She went to Angel City game. She sang. She did her thing. Everything seems fine. And then they love the boy, which a moment to change her Instagram.
You know, we've always spoken very highly of Sebastian Legette on this show for years.
I've also roasted this name many times.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a terrible name.
You're
an adult.
Yeah, you gotta. even Snoop Dogg dropped a doggy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
At some point, I gotta mature.
He went with Snoop Line and he was like, well, that was also a mistake. And then he pulled back and went back to Snoop. I think he's just Snoop.
So look, my man, the homie opened up the notes app. And as soon as you open up the notes app and you post something,
I think what happened is he copy and pasted from his representation. I think that's what he did.
Look, I'm trying to be as...
I think he read this the same time we did.
I am trying to be as charitable as possible because this whole scenario is heartbreaking. I don't know.
Ben Skolnick said, but allegedly.
this whole scenario is truly heartbreaking, especially Becky G is just an absolute music superstar. Just won an award.
A darling. She's like a Disney star.
She did a song with Bad Bunny.
Which already... I mean, that puts you at a certain level with Latinos.
You're at a different stratosphere.
Oh, you've sung with Jesus? Oh, okay, word.
Okay, so you good in my book.
Yeah, yeah, all right. My abuela even likes you now. You hung out with Puerto Rican Jesus.
So when I heard of all this, I just begged and hoped that none of it was true because... Again, they've both been on the show. They're both so sweet and so kind. It's just
I feel like we're in the relationship.
I think a lot of people feel this way. I mean,
how could Sebastian do this to us? Was the first question.
I'm wondering why more people didn't ask that.
Yeah. Maybe we just didn't read deep enough into the tweets.
Because they know there aren't many. I don't think they have many interviews that they've done together.
No.
So
ours is one of them.
It's a unique thing, and because Becky G is essentially so famous and obviously much more famous than Sebastian Legette, there are people that may not even really know, they've never really seen Sebastian play, they've never heard his voice.
No, that's just Becky G's
fiance.
That's just
Becky G's fiance, right? And so there is a you know, I think on our part, we're trying to like And that's been the mission statement for this show, is just to highlight the American soccer player. And Sebastian Legette is obviously has represented the U.S. men's national team. He's part of highlighting him is like, yo, he's dating Becky G. This is crazy that an American soccer player is.
Right.
So
to give you an idea of like the, for us, it's obviously different because we're like, oh my God, that's Sebastian Legette and Becky G. For 99% of the people who have heard this information, it's Becky G and some soccer player. In fact, there was a woman who released a tweet of a video of a woman dragging a bat saying, which one is he? And saying, when I pull up to Becky G's fiance's little soccer game.
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack there. We're not going to go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think you get a general idea of how people view the sport we love.
Because of the whole thing, I don't even like, usually I would get offended. I mean, what do you mean little soccer game? But it's just like, man, it's just like, he put himself in a bad position. Not to only make, Becky G look bad, not to make solely himself look bad, but then also American soccer. And then that's when it's gone
too far. I disagree. I think if you're in the Apple TV Plus offices, you're like, oh, we're going to have a couple people watching these FC Dallas matches all of a sudden.
Alexis is in the attention business.
Yo, I'm here for engagement, not ruining engagements like Sebastian Legette did.
Okay. He's not in the business of values or morality. No.
I say leave that for everyone else. Like how I handle recycling. Y'all do it. That way, when I don't do it, it don't seem that bad anymore.
I'm sure there's good people in the world. They got it.
Yo, I heard this, man. People are picking up garbage off the side of the street. So I'm helping them by leaving this garbage on the side of the street.
Neeson Mob Squad said he's making MLS look bad. Okay.
I don't think so, bro.
So look, and just some of the, a couple of the quotes. And look, the statement in itself is fairly vague, I would say.
I do want to read a separate statement first before we read this. And by the way, I don't think we should read this entire statement.
We're not going to read the entire statement. No, go ahead.
But Del Boy, for those of you who listen to both episodes of our show, Del Boy wants to apologize. So he also is releasing a statement. Del Boy says, apologies for my filthy words yesterday. I'm, in quotes, dating a super freak, and all we do is send appalling texts about sex, and I'm struggling to adjust texting regular people. Under no circumstances should you be communicating with your mom or your aunt or anyone. Based on the way you was talking in this chat yesterday?
Yeah. There can't be any, like, we can't get any spillover of your text to this chat. There has to be some understanding
it's a different app, man.
It's a completely different button right there on your
phone. I know y'all ain't doing this in YouTube. There's standards.
Bro, that'd be even scarier if he was sending these texts in YouTube.
Dog.
Why can't I send dick pics in the YouTube chat?
I know, man. I was trying an Instacart, and it won't let me, bro. I'm trying to get a discount on this delivery.
Bro, there must be some sort of glitch. This is where I send my dick pic.
I'm hitting the upload button, but it's not letting me.
Okay.
All right, now back to Seb. Thank you, Doughboy, for being open.
For the statement, yes.
By the way, our other producer is in the building right now, and she's just like, is this a normal episode?
I think this when we have an audience, it gets a little goofy.
It gets a little
so this
little
is,
silly.
This is on you. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, it's your fault for coming into work today.
But there were a couple, the general vibe of this, of the statement was I made a mistake.
I have some demons I'm trying to work through.
Also that this person is a stalker, which we spoke about. But when this initially happened, I was like,
it feels a little setup-y.
It feels like a kind of stalkery kind of person trying to, just break them up or whatever.
Get money. Because it even says, where's the part? There we go. While this anonymous internet stalker who I never met, unlike they claimed, had an ultimate goal that was not clear. It seemed like they were trying to either break them up maybe get money out of them. And he does say in a... extortion somewhere in here as well. So look, I don't want to make light of he says he has problems, he's going to go to a facility or some type of counseling.
Yeah, he's going to help.
If that's absolutely the truth, then I hope you get that. Then all jokes aside,
we also don't know what happened or what.
We don't know anything.
Anything. We just know. Look, if he had to put out the statement, then he clearly had to apologize to his fiance.
Here's the thing. In it, he says the second to last paragraph or the penultimate paragraph. Guess who just learned what penultimate means? It says, let's go learning words, dude. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, bro. To Becky, you have been the light in my life, my strength, who has always shown me unconditional love. Instead of honoring that love every day, I have done the opposite, hurting you and disrespecting the one person I love more than anything. I am so sorry and know I have to do whatever it takes to earn back the trust and love you deserve. Now, there's two ways to decide what happened here. There's two ways that it can go. One, this is saying him saying this publicly is just reaffirming his love, or Becky G ain't picking up that phone, blocked him on all the apps, and he said, maybe she'll be reading this, and I could get a message to her. I need my boots also, if you could leave that by the garage door. I'll pick them up. It's cool.
I don't get the sense that they've broken up. There's no statement that they've broken up.
She has been seen in photos without her engagement.
I have heard that as well.
And to you, that's not broken up.
I mean, but are they recent photos? I don't know. I mean, you know, anything.
They are recent photos.
Okay. Well, Alexis has confirmed that they are recent photos.
Bro, I took them. Bro. I'm like, yo, just let me get one without the ring on.
Becky, over here, show. Becky. Yeah, yeah.
Becky, real quick, Becky. Becky, internet stalker, talk to me about it.
Yeah. So look, it's.
Do you think? Would you rather you versus 10 billion lions? Becky,
everybody wants to know.
Yeah. Becky, have you ever been to Blangola? Becky.
So look, overall, all of this is just super disappointing, man. And as you know, again, we haven't met Becky G in person, but we have met Sebastian Legend in person.
She seems like a sweetheart.
And so does Sebastian.
Yeah, well, we've met him. Yeah, seems like a sweetheart. We've met him. He's a very nice guy.
Totally.
And the whole thing. I mean, yeah, this is fodder for jokes, and if you're mad at us, this is part of our show. You reached the top of the news cycle. We got to talk about it. If you cheat on a Disney star who, again, has sung with Puerto Rican Jesus, we got to talk about it.
Yes.
So if Christian cheated on Bad Bunny, I would talk about it on this show.
I just pulled up a quick screenshot.
Oh, good. Show them when they were in love. This is great.
Go listen to the episode when they were on our show. They did our show. It was the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh.
I'm just saying, we are part of this story. This is when they if they do
again.
Some...
He did this to all of us, all three of us.
So go back in the podcast library if you are a fan of Becky G or you're a fan of Sebastian Legend and you want to just
did you say library?
Library.
Okay. All right. Imagine. I heard library.
Imagine.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Your Brooklyn is showing.
The
Christian.
Tides have changed around here these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian's like, I'm the one who fucks up work now. Has it been 10 minutes?
Omar just said.
All right. 16. Woo.
Omar just said Shakira Becky G collab coming soon.
I posted that. And that's, I think that's the one where you were like, nope. I also put Red Table. And Christian was like, hey, I see you
I just,
tweeting
the main thing
from
I
the main account.
At the time, I just said. Because I was
you were scared.
I was doing my due diligence,
bro. What's that?
In asking around, I'm like, yo, what's going on?
No, not me. I'm hearing... I jump straight into the memes, bro.
Okay, because I'm trying to get my two sources before I publish anything.
Nah, I got bourses, bro. Yo, can I read it? Do you care?
Read what?
The text you sent me.
Sure.
Yo, just be careful about what you tweet about Legend. This stuff hasn't been corroborated, and I don't want to get in any shit. The jokes are fine, but don't say like he cheated or anything like that.
Exactly, and we did not say that.
Why don't you put up the images I put? Because it's from the Cooligans account.
Oh, sure.
Just so everyone knows, I wasn't being like, you know, horrific.
No, but it was.
I just thought this is funny. And Christian was like, I know how Alexis gets. 17 more tweets are coming after this.
Because there were a lot of jokes.
I go on runs.
Of course. But there were a lot of jokes.
I don't run, but I go on runs.
There were jokes about. People essentially saying that this is what he did. And I'm like, All right, we don't know what happened, so let's just not say that he did anything.
Right.
That's all. That was my, you know, I'm looking after you, I'm looking after us, I'm looking after Metalark Media,
yeah.
Okay?
I feel like you're doing that in the reverse order you just said it right now. You're like, I know you also there, but I'm looking after me and Dan. So, and again, we ain't looking out for Stephen A. Smith.
Just a reminder.
Just in case anyone's wondering if you just tuned into the show.
Okay.
She's doing a track with Bizarrap. Right, which Shakira did after the whole PK. And then, you know, there she is on Red Table. And I did my best Photoshop work on this one, I think.
I can't. This is the only. This is the most amount of effort I've seen Alexis apply.
The real question here
is anything.
Why is she so big?
She is four times bigger than
how
Jada Pinkett.
How much closer are you sitting to the camera then? Look at how tiny Jada Pinkett Smith is.
Okay, so look, I mean, let's applaud Alexis for his effort. And, you know, this is extra credit for Alexis when he gets giddy about doing terrible Photoshop.
And then I even did a little jokey joke after it. I said that Becky G Shakira track about to slap, though. So a lot of the jokes in the chat, your boy did it on March 24th.
Let's, you know, I don't look again. All alleged. We don't know what's going on. We're just here to.
Delboy still in them weird searches for gigantism. I mean, this dude, Delboy, bro, you need cold showers, Delboy.
So look, hopefully everything works out. All right. We believe in love here at Cooligan's headquarters. okay. So, you know, yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe their next, you know, interview is, maybe we bring them back on.
Yeah.
To really.
And they can hash it out.
Just like a little Oprah sit down.
Right.
Get to the bottom.
And the stalker comes through the door. It's why the door's here.
This is the new red table. We're taking over Jada Pinkett Smith.
You want to hear what the real twist is? The stalker that walks through the door is Stephen A. Smith. That's how we put all these together, bro.
Okay, let's bounce around a little bit. There's a lot of news today because, you know, obviously NWSL returned this weekend. A lot of great games. But one of the big pieces of news was the announcement that our dear friend of the show, Ali Krieger, has announced her retirement from professional soccer. And look, if you...
Only a few years ago, we helped her get back on the national team.
Okay, so Alexis just... he's like... I'm gonna just say this.
Okay. Remember when we did this interview?
Yes.
And I said, we both said, we believe in you, and you're going to do it. And then she did it. And then when we saw her at the media day, she hugged me, and she said, you guys did it. You got me back on the national team.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned,
she had him in before,
you're welcome.
Before the Women's World Cup. And
Omar Ramirez, hilarious. I'm not going to read it, but that's hilarious.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm sure the audio listeners
will
appreciate.
Well, then maybe you should be here for the live.
So Ali Krieger,
she's announced her retirement after this season.
After this season, so this is going to be her final season. So every match, I mean, even after the Angel City match, Kristen Press, Sydney LaRue
gave her flowers.
You know, probably, you know, long deserved. Even before announcing a retirement, Ali Krieger is you know, to very many people is a hero in as an athlete, as an activist, as an advocate. And so I don't know. When I first heard the news, I was like, not yet, Ali. You know, it's a little bit.
You still got more gas in the tank, girl.
don't hang up those boots just yet. But if you haven't heard our, we've did two interviews, one with Ali Krieger, and then
are we only going to bring up news items of people we've interviewed?
Yes, that's the plan. That's the plan. But we go back and so our interview with Ali Krieger for a long time was our most downloaded episode, and yeah, I want to give her flowers today because I think not only did we help, quote unquote, help her get back on the national team.
You speaking fast, bro.
but I think she helped us as well. I mean, very much so. I think even at the time when we did sat down and did this interview.
And we talked about this ad nauseum. We fought really hard to get this interview.
Yes.
We had to convince her helpers or her handlers, whoever
helpers,
they were.
Helpers, you have like little elves.
Yo, them little Keebler dudes, bro. They were just making EL fudge cookies. And I said, yo, cut that out, bro. We need an interview.
This was at the United Soccer Coaches Convention. This was in... Chicago.
This was in Chicago, 2019, right? 2018.
18, yeah. I believe. And she, but we when we did this interview, I knew Ali Krieger was obviously a U.S. Women's National Team legend, and but I didn't know that she had a rabid fan base. And when we did this interview and we posted a picture with her, everybody was like, yo, when's the interview dropping? And yeah. I'm like, I was like,
people would literally message, I don't like you guys, but I want to hear this interview. And I'm like, you don't got to say the first part.
Like, our audience, our demographic is usually like male from like 25 to, you know, 34 or yeah. whatever. And then we were getting messages from like 17 year old girls that were like, right. where the hell is the Ali Krieger yeah. interview? I can't, why are you holding this? Why are right. you denying this in my life?
I've listened to multiple episodes. You guys are idiots. We want the Ali Krieger.
I'm not even exaggerating. People were so mad that we just hadn't released the interview yeah. yet.
And then we also got messages like people's parents like, hey, my daughter keeps checking your podcast. You guys swear a lot. Can you just tell me when? We're like, oops. Not in the first 10 minutes, though.
Okay. So, look, so that's the main thing. You know, obviously, it's going to be an exciting year for Gotham FC, for Ali Krieger. But just wanted to show love. Go listen to our two interviews that we had with Ali.
And she's great, man. We literally, our plan was to get her to, because everyone said no. Our plan was, if we see her, we're going to make her laugh so much that she'll have to do the interview. And it actually worked out.
And it was literally one of our best ever episodes.
Yeah. She's got a great personality. It ended up, we got to interview her and Ashlyn Harris at the same time. It was mm-hmm. so dope.
Okay. So, all right. So a couple other things. We'll bounce around that. Since we mentioned Gotham, I want to, Gotham FC did have, they played in the final game of the weekend in the NWSL. They played against Angel City.
Bodied them in their own house.
At BMO Stadium.
But go Bats.
But this game wasn't a game that didn't have any controversy because VAR was the first time VAR is used in an NWSL match. Is
Ben Skolnick says, breaking news, Gotham FC signed VAR to a one-day contract hours before the ACFC game. VAR was like, yo, I got you, bro.
it was such a wild call. And if people didn't see this out, and Ben maybe could remind me, who was the player that shielded the ball from Kelly O'Hara? Because I don't remember who it was.
Oh, I can't remember.
But
let me give you the synopsis. So there was a moment where the official's looking right at them
at the play,
too.
Yeah.
They don't deem it a foul. Then Endo scores a goal. Beautiful goal.
Yeah, like from 40 yards.
Right.
It's remarkable.
And then VAR, which is there to check the goal, mm-hmm. right? And let me hit the rewind button and see that that kind of rough play one more time. And then they deem it a foul. And now, under normal circumstances, 99.999% of the time, I'm like, bro, that's messed up. But because it helps our team, I'm like, yo, finally, VAR gets it right.
You know, long overdue in this league, and they finally nailed it.
It's about damn time, bro.
So that's pretty much it. So the player shields the ball, and Kelly O'Hara, who's going for it, and that definitely does have a chance to get it. So when
the player shields and also kind of puts her leg out.
It's a leg. So this is where it's like so. To me, you don't call this foul because it's not the fact that there's debate there. It's
excuse
salut.
Me. Isn't it about getting it right though? Do you care that that's just how
But is it getting it right though? Because it doesn't look like it's right. And look, obviously, I don't want bad calls to go against Gotham.
Look at our Twitter. You'll see the play. You could figure it out for yourself. You could decide.
But this was a such a critical call because I mean arguably it really changed the game because that. When you score a goal from like 40 yards, endorphins are going pretty wild.
Yeah,
you're pretty
yeah.
excited.
The celebrations are pretty lit. Sucks that was for nothing.
So,
if I'm not mistaken, was the first time VAR was used in NWSL to take back a goal.
Correct. Yeah.
Nice.
And
nice.
A lot of
dude, I've been sending money to VAR left and right. It hasn't worked for Arsenal. I'm glad that it's finally working for one of my teams.
So, but it 100% changed the game. And then Gotham ends up getting a penalty from a VAR call that was also kind of questionable, but I think 100% fair. And then Lynn Williams scores a goal with possibly a broken arm.
She's got her arm wrapped.
She has an arm, which I've never seen ever. So Lynn Williams
got an air cast put on.
No, it wasn't an air cast. Yeah. Maybe after the game.
No, she got an air cast and then it was wrapped. There's an air cast there.
No, she put like I don't know what it's called. It's not a cast. It was just like a
splint, an air splint.
A splint, yeah, yeah. Cast.
Pull the clip, everybody.
Get a doctor. We got to get a doctor on here. We'll have him Splint versus Cast.
Yeah, let's get Dr. Miguelito to explain to us.
But she played the whole game just with.
She scores the goal, and then when she goes to celebrate, throw her arms up, and one of them don't really go up.
And she, and in the post game, she was just like, my arm might be broken. I don't care. I don't need. She said, I don't need my arms to play soccer.
Which is true. She's just reading out facts.
We don't know. I haven't gotten an update on how she's doing. I hope her arm is not broken.
I DM'd her. Hey, I hope your arm feels better. Go Bats. Great win.
Okay.
Because they keep yelling, go Bats. I don't know if you see it because Gotham.
Yes.
I don't think legally they're allowed to do. But you know how we go on this show. Ever a place to do it,
Alexis,
it's here.
Getting a cease and desist.
Dare you to send it to me. Email it to me. It's StephenASmith@gmail.com. Don't email that to
me. Ben Skolnick says, a soft cast in the game, then went back in. Okay, thank you for the confirmation.
Yeah. Great. Del Boy heard someone say soft cast. wonder what's coming next.
So, but the fact that this was, that VAR was very much involved in this game, I
hey, this is good. This, even the controversy of us talking about the Endo goal being taken back, this is good for the league.
Sure.
They need more controversy.
And
someone in the league needs to start dating Becky G and then get an internet stalker. This is what I'm trying to say. You really want that NWSL bubble?
It is an interesting thing because, a lot of players have wanted this in NWSL, but unfortunately, it feels like VAR got involved in and it wasn't their business. You know, it feels a little bit like, why are you even here? We don't even need you now.
No, you got to check the goals. And part of that is if there was a foul on the run-up to the goal.
I get it.
That's part of it.
I get it. But this was...
I think the issue with VAR is that we're learning as we go along. It's not ChatGPT. There's still a guy sitting there or a woman watching it going, no.
Yeah. I don't know how you can watch this play and Kelly O'Harris step over the player. Honestly,
did you see that league somewhere? I can't remember where. There is no VAR. But a fan had it on his phone, showed it to the ref, and the ref took back the goal. The ref was clearly from this Samsung.
but this looks like a call that was just so it's a gray area call that VAR to me doesn't need to make this decision. And then when the center referee goes and looks at it, to me we're seeing this in MLS as well because. We have more teams. We have more referees.
You think the product is watered down with the
referees? It is diluted, and it's even worse. We were very concerned for years when MLS was expanding and more teams. Everybody was like, "Yo, we don't have enough quality players to field these teams," and now. MLS looks like every team is pretty well balanced, right? Like there's a fair amount of parity. You're not usually
only one team keeps getting the ball passed to them.
Oh, sure.
what type of hex is Joao Klaus?
But that concern I had about the player quality is kind of gone. I don't really think about it that much. But refereeing quality, look at the Red Bull game against Charlotte. There were two red cards that should have been called.
One dude got literally studs up kicked between the knee and his ankle.
Omir Fernandez.
And they were like, we good.
Bro, it was unreal. These are terrible, terrible calls, and you can only blame the referees here. Then this is Brent Bronico, who is. I mean, you look at the freeze frame that we're staying at right now.
This looks horrific.
He is cleat deep in Omir Fernandez's leg, and this wasn't even given as a yellow card.
Bro, Omir Fernandez's leg right now looks like my cheeks when I was a teenager, just full of pock holes.
I thought you were talking about your butt cheeks.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's right now. Not when I was a teenager. It was much smoother when I was a teenager. we're going through a rough era back there. Right
and who was it? Derek was it Derek Jones? I think also he had an elbow to a Rebel player, and he took a terrible fall on the ground.
Yeah, officiating sucks all over the world, but almost in particular extra here.
Yeah, it's just
and that's the end of the episode. How did we not talk about the men's national team big win over El Salvador first? Who are after the Sebastian
I mean, the
Lecce.
Becky G news.
Yeah, yeah. She trumps all national team news.
That's fair.
Yo, Anthony Hudson, bro, you need to do something salacious if you wanted to talk about stuff.
Okay, should we talk about that game now?
We do. But first, I think it's important to say, like, yo, Sebastian Lecce right now probably wants to relax. He probably wants to chill.
Without a doubt.
I'm sure the sponsors are going to love this segue so much. They're probably going to talk about this in some meeting and probably in a positive light. He probably wants to chill. And I know how I chill.
There we go.
I love to kick back and enjoy a nice, cold, crisp beer. And when I do, I say, yo, how do I know the beer inside this can is cold and refreshing right now?
Okay.
And if only there was a can that had like a little figurine on it that changed colors when it was cold.
Exactly. And, you know, it can confirm.
Is there one?
Yes, it is an ice cold.
Is it the can that's right in front of me, this Coors Light?
It's an ice cold Coors Light because the Coors Light can confirm it is colder than the tension in Becky G and Sebastian Lecce's relationship. Right. Okay.
As Sebastian comes and gets his clothing, that is probably, you know what, if there was a little mountain on the wall, it'd be blue. Okay. During that moment. And
so that's very cold.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's so crisp. It's definitely sharp.
So, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. Mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado!
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Oh, boom.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. We have to U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, let's talk about it. First, I just want to ask, people were texting me after this game. By the way, Z the Mushmouth just paid $10 for us to say this. Warm Coors Light shotgun fun. We have a fridge right there. We do not have to have warm. Should I go get us cold ones? Would you want a beer right now?
I don't want a shotgun a beer.
You don't have to shotgun. You want to enjoy a cold, crisp Coors Light.
Let's do it. Sure. Let's do it. Why not?
Okay. Well,
one day we'll shotgun.
I'll ask
one
you
day.
A question, and then I'll go get it as
go
you
for
answer.
It. Go for it.
I've got a lot of texts saying, yo, this guy's better than Berhalter. What are we doing? This should be our manager.
Wow. Anthony
Hudson? What's your reaction to
former
that?
Former Colorado Rapids coach Anthony Hudson, who I think who managed them during some of their worst years. He was not great, really not that beloved. I think this is one of those...
Look at those blue mountains.
I think he was...
They're looking pretty blue, I'm not going to lie. I noticed the difference.
Look, you can
from
see the
here.
Comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
totally.
Seriously.
I think this is one of those scenarios where...
Ah. That's crisp. That's a crisp opening right
Boom.
There.
Thank you for finally sending us beer. Huh?
Delish. So I think this is one of those scenarios where the... I'm not going to say it doesn't matter who is the coach, but we're at a little bit of a place where the we have really good players.
Grenada, you and I could have coached a win there. No offense.
With all due respect to Mr. Hudson.
Yeah. Much respect, Mr. Hudson. But like Sebastian Lecce's internet soccer could have managed that team to a win. It's Grenada obviously clearly doesn't offer the highest quality of competition, the highest level of competition.
Yeah.
Great team. They had some great moments. That goal was incredible. But for the most part, the U.S. was able to overpower them, even if we didn't have the correct tactics. I maybe wouldn't have made that assumption after that game. But El Salvador, who always plays us very difficult, always plays us very strong. I think we've only scored 2 goals against them in the last like 4 matches. Something crazy like that. That's a tough game to be the manager of the men's national team.
Sure.
You have to make the tactics have to be right, and you got to pick the right lineup. You got to pick the right players, and you got to put them in the right position. And they have to have – it's very difficult to play against a team that is willing to do whatever it takes to stop you from scoring. and will try to gun after you the moment they get the chance. And they press hard, and that's exactly what El Salvador was doing. And if I'm being honest, I think the team looked a bit more free than when Berhalter is the manager. It's a bit more predictable when Berhalter's manager. They were a bit more free. They were a bit more free-flowing.
I don't know. It's hard to say that because the importance of... I mean, these are Nations League matches, but the important... They're not qualifiers.
This is still important.
It's important, but it's not the same as a World Cup qualifier.
It's a competition we won, and we needed a win or draw in order to top this group.
I understand that, but it's still a weird criticism when Berhalter also won the Nations League as well. So
I'm not saying he's clearly better, but I think the team looked a bit more fun.
All right.
Yeah, see, you're more of a... I love Berhalter, but you're more of a Berhalter-style guy. Where you're like, remember, we have fun scheduled between 7:15 and 7:25. And if I see you not having fun, then the spreadsheet goes to waste. You know? That's a big you thing. So I think you like Berhalter's style more. And while I also love the way he played, and I'm not a big Anthony Hudson guy in general, I think he's doing a great job as a caretaker for now. I do like the fact that players felt the freedom to do almost whatever they wanted within a defined system.
To me, the systems themselves don't look wildly different. I would imagine, why would you change? Anthony Hudson was Berhalter's assistant. Why change anything now? I think the bigger challenge now is just calling in those players that didn't get a lot of caps while in the buildup and leading to the World Cup.
We got some names: Johnny Cardoso, Taylor Booth, of Utrecht, Bloody Nose, Taylor Booth. Who else?
Pepe, who obviously
did. Pepe, Balogun, hopefully.
Yeah, he wasn't there. I mean, he was in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I'm on Flow Watch. You know what I'm saying?
He did post on Instagram a carousel of all.
Yeah. It was a USA dump.
He had the. It was just the caption was just the American flag,
right?
And again, we're on Flow Watch.
Did you see the march? There were fans who marched with the sign that said "We want Flow."
Yeah, and there was somebody in the stands with a Balogun #9. Jersey. So look,
we're being mad thirsty. I'm not gonna lie, we're being wild thirsty. I'm all for it. I know somebody tweeted out that Mikel Arteta is actually gonna have talks with Balogun to talk about how to get him included into the team.
Okay,
but there's still the interest in potentially selling him as well. So it seems like everything's on the up and up. I mean, you score 17, 18 goals in Ligue 1, people are going to start talking about you.
Right.
So that's where we're at
but
now.
I want to just highlight Ricardo Pepi's goal.
I was going to ask you, of the players that are fringe, would you consider Pepi fringe?
I would consider Pepi
fringe.
Right,
he didn't make it to the World Cup team. So
Yeah, fringe. I mean, to me, Daryl DK is like very much...
After this game, I think he's out.
I don't know if he's out, but...
Bro, you were home.
He still...
That crowd was chanting your name. That's where you played.
He was injured for a long time. I think he still...
He didn't do anything.
He didn't look great.
He didn't do anything. And it's against El Salvador where...
But Pepe's goal, I thought it showed a lot of growth, a lot of maturity.
Also an incredible amount of skill. That turn to make that run.
And more than anything, I love the... Not the goal itself, which was gorgeous, chipping it over the keeper, but it was the eye contact with McKennie, who was essentially like a center back at that moment when he made that pass. And
great ball from McKennie.
But then it was the eye contact and then the run, the perfectly placed run to shield the defender from having any chance at getting the ball or putting in a tackle that would stop him from controlling the ball.
And this is the part that people don't understand. He didn't just run onto the ball. He ran onto the ball in an angle where no one else could get in front of him without fouling him.
Right.
And it was such an important thing.
It was such a mature run.
That's a big boy run.
it's a little bit like, now I feel like I'm not, I feel like one of those like, soccer coach, like the soccer coaches that they never made it at any professional level, but they like, I've watched enough.
Yeah.
I know. I do this in FIFA.
Right.
You know,
look, he hit L1. you may not understand it the way I'm saying it.
It was just such a, you just see the tactically, he understands how to play the position even better. Maybe it's the coaching that he's getting at Groningen.
Did Pepe become your number one striker on the U.S. men's national team? Is he the top of your list for striker
going forward?
If not, who
I don't want to have some recency bias, but I guess so. Yeah,
he did it over two games. Grenada, you take it.
It's still weird to have left him off the World Cup roster anyway, right? Like,
he hung up. You hang up on me, you out. I don't care who you are.
But he hung up because
my
he
wife
was told,
wouldn't get an invitation to my wedding if she hung up on me. I would call her back and be like, yo, where is it again? You're not invited.
He hung up because he was told that he wasn't going to the World Cup. But
I've heard two stories. He told he wasn't going to the World Cup, or he told he wouldn't be starting. He wouldn't be considered like a big.
Okay,
but
if you're gonna make a statement like that,
I said I heard two things. I heard.
Where did you hear the story? Because that wasn't what he said on the podcast that he spoke about it. We're quoting Pepe, who said he told me I wasn't going and I hung up.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
We played it on the show.
I heard something else. That's what I'm telling
you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Somebody go back to the episode.
First of all,
pay no
what
attention
show?
To the facts.
This is my first time being a guest on this show. What are you talking about, dude? I've never been here before.
Jesus
Stop
Christ.
Talking about Blangola, bro.
What's Blangola,
bro? Okay. So, look, Pepe, yeah, but right, look, with the form that ever since he was told he wasn't going, not even told that he wasn't going to the World Cup, but ever since he left Augsburg and went to Holland to play.
Yeah, as soon as you leave Augsburg, everything changes.
He was improving, scoring a bunch of goals, and for whatever reason, but
PSV is interested.
I've heard that, but this is
that you heard, but you can't back me up on the other shit, huh?
back you up on things that I've never heard, and you've also probably never heard as well.
Song Arium said Thierry Henry whispered it in his ear during the hug. That's what we were talking about. That's what. Thank you. So you must have been there, Song.
Pepe got left off the World Cup roster because in the qualifiers, he just didn't show up.
He didn't show up.
He scored in a couple games early on, and then towards the latter matches, he didn't score. And Berhalter was like, look, maybe I've
but what did Haji Wright do to earn that call-up?
He did well enough in Turkey or whatever.
I mean,
we had this conversation already because Berhalter was just like, I think Haji Wright matches up better and blah, blah, blah. And it is what it is. At the end of the day, he makes that choice. That's why he is the coach. Whether you think it's wrong or right, I don't personally think we beat the Netherlands if Pepe is there.
Right.
That's all. I don't think it affected the outcome of our World Cup that much, but it's still. You know, I'm like I've always said, I'm a fan of the you know, you play the guy that helped you get there, right? You know, just like Matt Turner was playing for Arsenal in all the European tournaments.
We put in Ramsdale, we get knocked out.
Exactly. So I don't know if it affects the outcome, but I'd rather lose with the guy that got me there.
Right.
So to leave Pepe off, maybe it motivated him enough. And you sort of get the sense that it did in that lead up to when the roster was going to be announced. I think Pepe in the long term will only improve, and I think if he goes to PSV, he'll even be a better player. I think the ceiling is so high for him, and it's just he got in a slump at just the wrong time, and the move to go to Augsburg was just obviously now in hindsight. It was just the wrong move. It was the wrong team. It wasn't the best place to to be.
No, it was terrible. But it got him into Europe, and now he can move on.
Yeah.
And that brings me to a point where during the Grenada game, I saw a lot of people tweeting and talking about this is the first U.S. men's national team game since MLS started that hasn't had an MLS player as a starter.
Miles Robinson didn't start?
No, it was Trusty and McKenzie as center backs, Reynolds and Scaly.
Grenada. Yeah.
But yes, that's true. How many of these players were developed by MLS? So Ricardo Pepi, FC Dallas, Reyna, NYCFC, Pulisic, Europe, Brendan Aaronson, Philly, McKenney, FC Dallas, De La Torre, Europe, Reynolds, FC Dallas, if I'm mistaken, McKenzie, Philly Union, Trusty Philly Union, Scaly, NYCFC, Turner, I believe was Revs, right? His whole career. Yeah, Richmond Kickers before that. Mm-hmm. And Jersey Express. Shout out to Jersey Express. It sounds like a place you get sandwiches. but that is overwhelmingly, we've reached now the point where MLS said they wanted to be a selling league. Now we're selling these players at younger and younger ages to go to Europe and develop further in Europe. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming back and they're being good enough to play for the men's national team. I mean, that's, we're kind of at this great point now. And people are like, well, look at that. We don't have MLS players. That's why we're so good. They were developing MLS.
but, you know, I think you know, we've spoken to several players that there's something about the mentality and the pressure that that you experience in Europe that you don't experience in Major League Soccer.
I'm not sitting here that you don't need that.
Sure.
Although I think if you asked me who the best defender over the two games was, as much as I think Austin Trusty deserves another shot at being the number one center back, because I think he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with McKenzie. Welcome back, both, you know, coming back from injury. Both playing over in Europe, Trusty over in Birmingham City, loaned from Arsenal to Birmingham City in the championship. Even though that's the case, if you looked at the best defender, the best center back that I think we had was probably Miles Robinson. He played incredibly well in the El Salvador game.
He did look good.
And that's an MLS player. That's an Atlanta United player.
I think the just that, I don't know, that talking point of like MLS bad or whatever, like
I talk to a lot of sheep. I just be asking sheep. I go, what do you think about MLS? They go, bad.
It's just sounding more ridiculous and more like less and less nuanced. You can't just simply say
filler. They're used for filler now.
It can't just be, oh, he's an MLS player, he's not good enough.
But then Jordan Morris goes and scores four. Remind you, yo, I'm still here.
Because and that was also maybe a strange omission, right? Jordan Morris not getting the call up here.
I think he's done.
I don't know. I mean,
Daryl Dike's done after
this. He doesn't think he's done.
No, he don't. Well, go ahead and keep beating up on Real Salt Lake or whoever you beat.
Sporting Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kevin Show. who, by the way, got cooked on social media. It's a big deal when you get roasted by the club your favorite club is playing.
Yes. It's
a big deal.
It's a bit of an honor. Look, shout out. I think Kevin is in the chat as well.
Yep, he's already here. He said stop before Alexis even mentioned Sporting Kansas City. Yeah. He knew it was coming.
Yes. Jordan Morris did score all four goals at Children's Mercy Park as well. So
right.
It wasn't even a home game. But you got to get...
it was for one of those teams.
You gotta,
weird that the home team didn't show up.
You got to give Sounders some credit here because this is entertainment. I mean, let's just play a little bit of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sporting Kansas City, Seattle. Maybe we'll get our first win of the season. I don't know. We'll find out.
It's Jordan Morris. He's got a fourth. He does what he wants.
Sounders.
With Sporting.
Just end it. I don't have any outro. I'm done.
I mean, there's...
I gotta give applause, Kevin, who does great work. Also started a new podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sounders, it's confirmed. Sounders admin is listening to Bombasso.
So go check that out as well. But
Tellboy said Superman can't save Kansas. It's messed up, bro. You down bad, but I'm telling, we've said this before. Hey, down bad, that's good for the views.
Because this is a bit of it, like Alexis meant, it's an honor to get roasted. And MLS has, I think, been on a bit of the forefront of like team admins getting a little bit spicy.
We've been here for the turn.
Because when we started, MLS teams were not doing stuff like
this. They're like, don't you dare be funny.
Yeah.
You get fined if you're funny.
And there's clubs that don't even participate in like the banter. You know, so it's great to see this, and the fact that they use another content creator that covers MLS, it's just
a great content creator. Too. Kevin does an incredible job,
and so it's a dope thing to see. I feel bad for your team a little bit.
Yeah,
but
well, no, I mean, look, use this pain to bubble up that bank account. You feel me?
I was I also tweeted at him earlier because the Sporting Kansas City's next match is against the Philadelphia Union, and we are when it comes. Philadelphia Union, very good team, but when it comes to that, the social team, Barah.
Yeah. Maybe you actually got saved by Sounders using you, and then maybe Philly be like, oh, I guess we have to scrap the complete takedown we had already planned.
So you better hope it's a competitive match between Kansas City and Philly, because the Union Social Team, they will go off.
Yeah,
bro. They have too much fodder, bro.
They'll have a full improv team scripting out sketches for you.
Okay.
And I just want to say, Omar Ramirez said, is Acosta done too? He's listed as injured, which is why he wasn't.
Kellen?
Yeah, Kellen Acosta is listed as injured on the national team.
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah, not that he's not injured. I'm saying, is he done?
No, not
in
no way, shape, or form. There is a handful of MLS players that are, I would say, automatic to be in camps. Aaron Long, probably for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton Pomykal. Kellen Acosta is listed as injured.
DeAndre Yedlin always seems to find his way into the squad.
DeAndre Yedlin, absolutely. Yeah, I guess the list ends there. But Jesus Ferreira. Maybe Brandon Vasquez is kind of still on the fringe.
Brandon Vasquez scored for a
big goal. Is he getting bigger as a human being? His shoulders keep getting wider. Bro, we need a different size shirt for the top of your shirt than the bottom.
Just custom made. He needs a tailor to make his MLS kits.
Bro.
Brandon Vasquez scored a big goal. I was kind of surprised he didn't get the call up here. Why? I think Brandon Vasquez, and this might be a situation where he's still deciding if he might play for Mexico. And that's the only reason I can think he didn't get
a shot at Mexico.
Really? Nah. I mean, we should talk a little bit about Mexico. Chicharito did a video.
They dusty, bro. Why are we talking about Mexico? That's old news.
No,
bro.
But they played at the Azteca. They played against Jamaica.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
I saw the team show up. I don't know about playing.
No, they scored.
Yo, Jamaica, you draw to Jamaica. Yo, shouts to Reggae Boys. That was incredible.
It was a two huge goals.
I'll give you this much insight. So we're doing rehearsals on the show, and we did predictions, and I said it was going to be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
Or Jamaica would win 2-1. And everyone called me crazy. People said, I heard 3-1, 4-1. Jamaica didn't have Andre Blake. And that's all I kept hearing. They don't have Andre Blake. And I'm like, yo, Mexico got nobody, bro. Like, Mexico looked bad.
I mean, the whether the team is good or not, like, they're going to, this is a very transitional phase for them.
You figure with a manager named Coca, you'd have a lot of energy.
It's a fair. I mean, look,
you figured a little bit of Coca would make you stand up.
I'm telling you, you don't hear these assessments on some of them other shows. But the main, I think, talking point was that the team was booed. The Mexican team was booed at the Azteca.
Memo Ochoa in particular was booed. That guy's a legend.
Dude, and they got booed when getting on the pitch. They didn't even get an opportunity to disappoint the fans.
Bro,
they just,
Coca's like, I just got here. Could y'all leave the toxicity for maybe the second half?
Yo, that was the other guy. I'm not Tata, bro. So Chicharito did a video on his Twitch and talking.
He kind of, I think, pulled back the curtain a little bit.
Well, he's essentially, at this point, they're like begging. They're just saying like, yo, we need support. You have to support the team. And it's like, it's fair to criticize us, which is, if we play poorly, you criticize the team. But we just got here and you're already booing us.
Yeah, I don't side with Chicharito on this. I think, it is a toxic fan base as far as the way they're reacting.
We were at the Azteca and it was exactly that. They were booing.
They booed us. They booed me and you.
They
stole our seats.
I was going to say, there's the Grant Wall story. Didn't someone like throw a hot dog at him or pour a beer on his laptop or something while he was
at the Azteca? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I heard that. It's pretty. It's not intense.
It's intense.
Yeah, it's a rough place to go, Azteca. For that reason, it's a very intimidating place. But the fan base, if they're doing that to the other team, if you're not playing well, they're going to turn on you. And they have every right to feel like this federation doesn't care about them. They're the ones that are, putting their hard-earned money to go to these games, to follow this team, to go support in the World Cup. They're doing as much as they possibly can. And if you're not reciprocating, and they haven't been, the Tata Martino situation was not handled correctly. And there is a feeling that there is this old guard. I think part of the issue is that Mexico has a lot of very good players. They don't have a lot of great players. So there's almost it's almost impossible to appease everyone because there's so many players you can't call in. But I'm not sure there's a way to to stack them in the right order so that they win a lot of games.
But I
honestly don't think they're not going to win the Nations League.
I don't think so either.
They might not even. I mean, it looks like now the U.S. and them will meet in a semifinal because of the way it all broke down.
But this is one of these rare moments, I think, in it, that we, I don't know, I haven't really felt it that much in my lifetime and watching soccer, where it objectively feels like the U.S. team is just better than Mexico.
Oh, leaps and bounds.
And it's not even like a crazy thing to say. But if we said that 5-6 years ago, people would be like, yo, you crazy. U.S. will never catch up. And it's like, not only have we caught up, but it's looking like Mexico are going to be, you know, sort of relegated to sort of the low quote unquote lower CONCACAF
nations. I mean, Nations League does have relegation. Sure, yeah. You might end up in a B,
but it's,
you might be playing Cuba and Guadalupe. Who, by the way, qualified. Cuba qualified,
right?
Bro.
Right. So it's just looking very concerning. My main thing is, you know, and I did agree with Chicharito's sentiment because
it's a little bit much, bro. Oh, you know, don't boo us. We're millionaires. It's a bit much.
Is that
much.
What he said? Don't boo us.
Michael Raymond, I think, said it best when he said Mexico. And I think that's just honestly, I think that's all that has to be said.
It's not like they sold the country to David Beckham. No, so
David Beckham marries Mexico. It's Mexico, baby.
Change the YouTube title.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah. I got you. I'm on it.
Yeah. Don't change it to that. No one's searching for Mexico.
So the but I do agree with his sentiment in that simply you
change it to nude photos of Mr. Beast. Someone will click on that.
Thumbnail's about to be crazy. Yeah.
Nude photos of Mr. Beast found in Mexico. There, I get
it. We got it.
But I love a man willing to compromise.
So, I'll meet you halfway.
This is where I agree with Chicharito. I think the especially with the concept of them just the players getting booed as soon as they step on the pitch and they're warming up. I get criticizing the federation. I get criticizing the coach, but the players are essentially
they're not doing home invasions. They're not hurting physically the players. They're going boo.
But before
they're making a sound, dude.
They're allowed to criticize. And Chicharito said the same exact thing. They're allowed to be frustrated with the team. But if there's literally no support whatsoever, what is the motivation? What is the excitement? Where is the excitement for?
It's your job. You're playing for your nation.
But you don't have to play for your nation.
So then don't. Someone else will.
And so, okay. So if it, should there not be any perk, any reward, any pride? Why would the players have pride when the fans that are going there to watch them are immediately booing before they even kick a ball?
Who cares?
Who cares is there has to be some level.
If you and I get paid to do an hour and we walk out and they start booing from the beginning, you know what I'm doing? My hour.
But
I'm still telling my jokes, so I get paid and I go home.
But if they're millionaires, they don't need this particular job.
So don't. And someone else will. There's an entire nation of footballers.
And it will only lead to more failure. If it's simply somebody else will, because they don't have players like that. They don't have just
cacophony.
A robust.
A cavalcade, if you will.
Cavalcade. They don't have a bunch of players that are high, high quality that are dying to get on this team.
But then someone else will if you don't want to. Vela didn't want to play or maybe wasn't called back. I don't know what the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
Chicharito's not playing. Arguably, those are two very good players that would make this team better. They're not playing. There's other players in their place.
Well, look, but that seems like a good example. The fact that Chicharito and Vela and Chicharito's,
A little bit older,
but he's had issues with the federation and blah, blah, blah. We don't know exactly why it hasn't worked out.
Oh, But you want us to not boo them.
No. But the fact that Chicharito has said that he would accept a call-up, but the Vela
has said... By the way, so would I. Okay, no one's calling me.
But Vela has said he does not want to play for them anymore, and he's playing great for LAFC. I'm sure they would welcome him with open arms. So what does it say about the culture of you know, the Mexican national team, the fan base? Maybe he's just like, I don't want to deal with it.
That they're a proud footballing country, and that they aspire to have a team that's better, and they hold you to a higher standard. And one of the easiest ways to let someone know you're frustrated with what they're doing is to make a sound boo.
Before
and
they
jump
even
on your stream and go, how dare you boo us?
Before,
you know, billionaires are sensitive too.
Boo them when they
and
lose.
And by the way, they're billionaires in pesos.
Boo them when they lose. Boo them when they play poorly, not before the game even
starts. They have played poorly recently, so they get booed.
Nah, bro.
I don't understand. Why are we protecting these guys?
I think the argument you guys are having is the exact disconnect between Chicharito and the fans. He's saying, well, why are you booing me? We haven't even started the game yet. You're not actually supporting the team. And they're all saying, bro, what have you been doing for the past however many months? They're frustrated that these standards have fallen.
Yeah, you've been trash.
Like you mentioned, Alexa. So I think you guys are both saying, like, just opposite sides of, like, why this is happening. You're, Christian, more on the player side. Alexis, you're coming more from the fence.
Right, but there have to be some level of compromise, right? And what compromise?
I paid money to come see you. I've spent my entire life. I've got tattoos of the flag of your players, of your names. I've got, my kids are wearing your name on their back. I've wasted my time. I work all week so that on the weekend I get one day where I get to celebrate my country playing this sport. You haven't done it well. You've shown me you don't care. You haven't shown me enough on the pitch, and I may make a sound, and that's enough for you to jump on stream and say, how dare you? You're hurting our feelings. You're hurting my feelings. I made a 7-layer dip for this, and now I can't enjoy it while I eat it. Now it's an 8-layer, and that layer is tears.
But look, you said the thing, the players have shown that they don't care. Which is
not enough.
To me, Chicharito making that statement shows that he does care. There has to be some back and forth.
Fine, Chicharito, you don't get booed on your stream.
The players have to appreciate the fans.
No.
But
the players have to play. That's your job, bro. Yo, you gotta take some L for being rich. And you get paid to play a game. You're literally getting paid. You got your family out the mud so you could kick a ball out the mud.
This is
part of it. You get booed when you don't do that job well.
This is
you get dropped.
This is one of those, you know, like when Anne Hathaway is like, why am I being attacked on social media?
She gets booed, bro.
And people are like, what did Anne Hathaway do? She's just a nice...
I can't be honest. I've never liked Anne Hathaway, bro. You wild boring, yo.
But it's just
why
like,
are you so dull, Anne?
Just because people are wealthy or celebrity doesn't
what is
mean...
the movie she was in? Prada with heels? The Devil Wears Heels?
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah,
Alexis,
that's it.
This is what I hate. Alexis knows exactly the name of this movie.
I don't. I swear to God, I don't.
For comedic effect, I'm going to be an idiot.
No. If you think this is for comedic effect, what have you been paying? I boo you. What have you been doing for the last 7 years? Weekly.
Alex is like the master plan. They all think I'm an idiot.
Make them all think you're stupid and then prove it on a weekly basis. Hey, what's the end of your plan? I haven't got there yet. I don't know money.
We got a comment for Miguelito. It says, Song Arium says, I love the producer. He's always coming in with level-headed takes, even if it's about the train wreck that's Chelsea.
It's fair. I gotta be the level-headed one in the craziness.
Bro, Ben Skolnick said, Blangolan rule number 159, you get booted if you don't do your job right. And that's a pretty level-headed. Imagine you did your job wrong, and instead of firing you, they just walked over and went, boo. Well, you'd be like, that's kind of
All I'm arguing is don't boo before they do their job wrong.
They have been doing it wrong.
And it's clear. It's somehow, this booing before they even begin, before they punch in, is not working.
What do you mean it's not working? We're talking about it.
No, they're...
Chicharito went on a stream.
The Mexican players are not performing to the level that they need to be.
So get your ass up.
Is the booing working? I guess. It's one of those...
What? So you think it would be better to not boo at all? To just sit there quietly?
Boo them when they lose. Not before they play.
They are actively losing. By not playing to the standard that they have set.
Okay. All right. Look. I mean, look. It's
not everywhere is America where we like, hey, man, you tried your best. That'll happen in Mexico.
I'm just saying it's going to lead to the results that they're getting. I mean, I don't know.
They got those results without the booze.
They got those results. No. They
were bad without the booze.
Sure. I mean, it's been pretty toxic for the last year, essentially.
It's been toxic forever.
It's bad now.
And maybe the scenario looks, I said where the guy waits all week to
it's looking worse.
Is not good.
It's looking worse because the U.S. is thriving and they're doing very, very well.
I was going to say, I think that's a big reason for it. They're starting to realize, oh, we're like actually below the United. Before it was kind of like 50-50. Oh, the U.S. would catch them here. Mexico is mostly dominant. Now it's like, oh, we're behind the U.S.
Where would you place Mexico right now in CONCACAF? Third.
Third. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
What would be your first, Canada or U.S.? Canada finished top of the group.
They did, but U.S. still. I mean,
yeah, so in terms of like the full like collection of players you can choose from, I would say U.S., Canada,
yeah,
then
dude,
Mexico.
Canada got eight good players.
It's just Mexico is just so like underperforming. Really, they just...
They genuinely haven't recovered since Arjen Robben dove the penalty on them in 2000. I'm not like genuine.
Bro, you
right?
got Arjen, bro.
The no era penal, bro. It was it's pretty crazy. So
you might not get to the fourth partido, bro. Never mind the fifth.
Okay, let's just go. There was a couple results in MLS. We have to talk
really
to St. Louis
results.
Alexis, just trust me for once that I know what I'm doing. I know that you
love
hate
this.
I don't
you
love
telling people what happened on Saturday.
I'm just
on
literally
Tuesday.
I'm just prepping the fact that we discussed that we were going to talk about St. Louis. So I started by saying, let's go with some of the results from MLS. Alexis hates this concept.
Why are we reading results?
We're not reading any results.
You said let's go over some of the results.
I'm setting up the fact that we're going to talk about St. Louis.
Okay, I'm going to let you rock.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead. Boo! See, I didn't hit you. You can't sue me for that.
St. Louis is undefeated in Major League Soccer. Who'd have thunk it?
Not us.
Okay, they defeat RSL.
Remember when we spoke to Lutz Franensteel, and at the end of the interview, I'm like, great guy, that team's going to suck. And here we are, bro. We was wrong.
Okay, we got Franensteeled.
Song of Room, bro. Hold on. Song of Room in the chat room. Mom and Dad, please stop fighting.
Unbelievable. So, St. Louis, they obviously, Joao Klaus gets two goals, gets an assist.
Yeah, I mean, we got to stop counting these as goals. If you can literally pass the ball to you, it keeps happening.
They know. They know before the games.
He's
right?
A big dude. It's not like he's hiding behind
Yo,
somebody.
And this was like the most egregious one, too, because was it more egregious? Who did they play? Orlando?
The first one was
to Jared Stroud.
Yeah. Who was a former teammate.
The first one to Joao Klaus was also pretty bad. This one, it felt like he was, I couldn't tell maybe because of the camera angle. It looked like, I forgot who passed it to him, but it looked, I mean, he must have been 5 feet away, closer than like, you know, COVID distance, right?
This was it. that was the pass.
He was looking.
I just handed him his.
He was looking at. He might have been like doing an Eskimo kiss to Joao Klaus when he passed it to him, bro. He was close to him.
He smelled Joao Klaus's breath. That's how close he was.
He was super close and passed it to the ball.
Delboy said Klaus is sloth from the Goonies. Why is he getting close? Why is he getting cooked?
Bro, Sloth from the Goonies could score goals like that. I'd take him on.
If you pass him the ball, he might sink a couple of them in.
Without a
Somebody
doubt.
Should have passed DK the ball.
But St. Louis, the fact that they week in and week out, people are like, oh, this is the last one. They're not going to do this. Especially,
well, they're about to play Seattle, I think, after the next game. I think next is Minnesota, which is also undefeated, by the way. Not in the same way.
Right. Nah.
They just haven't lost. They're not really Vibes FC like St. Louis City is.
They look great. I mean, and also
Roman, they don't look great.
You don't think...
No, they don't look great. They look like they're playing with a lot of energy. This might be a reference you might not get, but do you remember when Blackpool made it into the Premier League?
I do not.
Okay, so it was a huge, huge, like... This might be 2010, 2011, when I was a few years after I was born, by the way. I just look like shit. Blackpool makes it in, and Blackpool was like a small club. They have not been back since. Tangerines, they won their first few games, but it was all like emotion and running around like crazy. Right. And this could go on forever. And then very quickly, reality set in. it feels a little bit like MLS was like, hey, let's drop the schedule. Hey, let's make it a little easier for Then again, I mean, St. Louis is the team that most teams assume they would be able to beat up on.
Yeah, but then, but even to do it on the road as well.
I have a hot take, though. You want to hear my hot take?
Okay, but before you say your hot take, you're saying that they gave them a quote unquote easier schedule.
It seems like it.
The first game was Austin away. You know, the team that got to the conference final, the Western Conference. I don't agree with that.
You're right. I think
sentiment.
That's the first shot. You're right. And as I said, it seems like. But here's my hot take. The way what Carnell, their coach, wants to play, he comes from the Ralph Ball system. He comes from the gegenpressing system.
Mm-hmm.
The way he wants to play, and I know other teams have done this, but it seems like St. Louis is the first team that's like physically been set up to play this way.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you can do this in MLS because not every player you're going to press has the technical ability to get out of a press quickly.
Okay.
So this feels a little bit like cheating in a way. Like this wouldn't work elsewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's cheating, but it feels a little bit like circumstantial.
I think you are underestimating the quality of players in MLS.
I said some of the players you run in. Stop it. Don't say them. Because I don't want to get booed by the players. Because then I got to go on a stream and tell people this.
They've seen high presses before.
But this is a pretty aggressive press.
I think it's one of those that the for an expansion team, especially the St. Louis players understand each other, right? Like even the giveaway to Joao Klaus, like it was two defenders on the player with the ball to kind of force them to make a mistake. And so it's they just understand each other better than most teams that you have just met a couple months ago. It's like I don't even know if they all know each other's names. And the fact that they play with this kind of chemistry is a credit to the coaching staff. So
Who got hired before any players? Imagine you're a coach of what? We're not sure yet. it's a great question. But I guess I'm just not sold. You know, on
five games in, I'm like, it looks legit to me.
Let me look at their schedule because they play Seattle, and then right after that, there you go. They play Minnesota. Next, they play Minnesota. Then they go away to Seattle. That's a L. If they win that, then I'll be like, all right, maybe okay. I was wrong. Then they go, they're back home to play Cincinnati, which is also an undefeated team.
I think they...
they play two undefeated
Minnesota
teams.
Has been really, really good defensively, and then they also just signed a DP. I forgot his name. It came from Wolves.
Korean guy. The Korean guy. Yeah, who's going to be up
Hwang top. Hwang Yi-chan, I believe.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You better be right. We are in serious trouble.
So this is the first... The game against Minnesota, I think they drop points, but I don't think they lose.
When do they cease to be undefeated? So... They have Minnesota at home. They go away to Seattle, Cincinnati at home, away to Colorado. That's a win. And then they come back for Portland, and then they go away to Dallas. So we got Minnesota away, Seattle. I'm sorry, Minnesota home, Seattle away, Cincinnati away. Tell me when you think
they cease
to be undefeated.
I'm going to say they against Seattle. I'd be very, very shocked if they beat Seattle. Kevincho in the chat just says St. Louis has played together for so long. They played in an MLS Next Pro. So there definitely are some players that have played together for a little bit. But, I mean, we can't. It's in MLS.
Bro, let's
it's
be
a
honest.
Different level. I mean,
Joao
let's
Klaus not, isn't a great player, right?
I mean, he's doing what he got to do.
Okay, that should be on the crest. But we doing what we got to do. That might be Seattle's slogan as a city. Never mind the club.
Two goals and an assist in against RSL, and then the one goal that was a gimme. He still had to do some
that
work.
Counts. But the other one was pretty great.
The other one was a great, great goal. It was who was it? Justin Glad didn't really clear the ball. It took one bounce and he cracked it to the bottom right.
Mistakes is just going to be handed to this guy.
But the fact that he's just where he needs to be and then can also do the things that he does is I'm not going to say prolific scorer, but he's clearly a great striker.
Yeah, he's gutting it out, which is a compliment. Look, Lowen is playing well. I don't want to take too much away from them. I think Lutz did an incredible job of putting this team together. I think Coach Carnell looks like he's picked the right tactics to make them successful.
Mm-hmm.
And if this keeps going, even if they're not undefeated, if this just keeps going and they keep playing well and they're a tough team to beat, and they play, you know, they every once in a while they beat a club that they're really not supposed to, then that's a win, you know? I mean, this Seattle, I mean, St. Louis also feels like they're preparing themselves to be one of the bigger selling clubs, but I feel like they want to sell a lot of players for good money as opposed to one or two for big money. They don't want to be going out. They're not getting Thiago Almada's.
Sure, sure. But we're right now, I think we're seeing a club that is very much sort of represent, look, I mean, looks like a Bundesliga club or looks like a lower bottom of the table kind of Bundesliga.
Stop it. That's too much.
Really? I mean, it's literally a bunch of Germans running the club. And no, it doesn't look like any German.
No. No, it don't. By the way, João Klaus is Brazilian.
He is Brazilian, but he did play in Germany.
That's, you know, that's Gisele Bündchen's
player. Gisele Bündchen player.
Yeah. Okay. There's a big German-looking, German-sounding Brazilian.
Okay, a couple other things. LAFC did play. Who they play against? I don't remember. But the game.
Yeah, they won.
They did win.
Dallas 2-1.
Which is, you know, we got a scratch.
Dennis Bouanga on an airplane for 13 hours. Right. Lands, gets an hour break, and then get in the game.
Well, this was also Sebastian Legette didn't play this game, which is that's what started the conversation about. Oh, okay. It looks like some of there might be some accuracy to some of this stuff.
I do want to say, Del Boy, for everyone listening, has let us know that he has to get off the chat because he said, "Guys, I'm off. The super freak texts me for a late night booty call, so I'm off to grease my piece. Adios, fellas. Catch you next week." That's thank you so much for updating us.
It's been a crazy week for Del Boy, bro.
All right, yeah. Good. I mean,
dude, just a Del Boy. Gotta go grease his piece for a date.
Yeah, Alexis loves learning new words. Those new sayings.
That phrase will make it into three sentences in a row, and now it's mine.
But Denis Bouanga.
The song goes, who would have thought Germans being efficient?
he scored the winning goal in this game, which is also a pretty wild goal from
another hot take.
Very difficult angle.
LAFC is his team, not Carlos Vela's anymore.
Wow.
100%. I'm with that take.
Okay.
Okay.
I think he's the best player in MLS, personally.
Right. That's kind of crazy because Hani Mukhtar, I think, still deserves that shine.
They're both up there.
At the moment, especially how he's playing in Champions League, I'm not upset with that take. Bouanga's playing great. But so it was a big story because it is obviously the international break, and Denis Bouanga plays for Gabon. He was in Istanbul, and he had to fly to L.A. to make the game. I don't even know if there was a plan for him to make it in time. I don't know all the details behind it, but we're looking at the basically like his itinerary. And it said Franceville to Istanbul, then a 3-hour layover, then Istanbul to LA, 13 hours of total travel, 5:27 p.m. touchdown at LAX, which is already, I mean, we all know you go to Burbank. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, man, come on now. You got money. You can afford the Uber.
6:46, arrive at BMO Stadium, 9:03, enter the match, 9:23, score game winner. Bro, that's a pretty wild. I mean, people would have totally understood if he didn't want to come into work.
Bro, you could have taken the night off, my guy.
But he chose not to and scored a huge goal. FC Dallas did get a red card in this game, and it made it pretty tough, but they tied it. And then it sort of felt like this was going to be a draw and a big, big point for FC Dallas. But that's not how it worked out. Denis Bouanga had different plans. We're winding down right now, but I want to make sure we've been talking about Bundesliga quite a bit. So today's the first day that we can.
You interviewed some St. Louis players?
Exactly. Influent German. I learned it just for this interview. I got the opportunity last week to play in a Street FC.
Don't be so shy about it, dude. You didn't get the opportunity. Bundesliga begged you to play against their legend, bro.
Pretty much.
Wow, dude.
So obviously,
come on.
Der Klassiker is coming up this weekend. Mike, I forgot the actual date of the game, so I just want to make sure
let me check it out.
We got that right. But I got to play in a pickup game with some Bundesliga legends, obviously. So Borussia Dortmund facing Bayern Munich.
Saturday at 12:30.
There we go, 12:30 Eastern time, Eastern. So tune in. But thank you, Bundesliga, for the invite. But I got to interview two people. Roman Weidenfeller, which I'm saying
just it rolls right off the top.
I'm saying it correctly now, but I'm going to play the interview, and I did not say it correctly at the time. It was a very difficult name. It was one of those like, oh, you went through this interview? Okay, what's your name? I just want to make sure I get it right, and I did not get it right. I did try my best, though. But Roman Weidenfeller, who was the goalkeeper for Dortmund for years, legendary dude, great guy, and Zé Roberto, who played for Bayern Munich. He played for Real Madrid.
Brazilian, right?
Brazilian guy. Yeah. I interviewed him as well, but that was in Spanish. So I'm going to, we'll play that later I got to caption it and do the whole thing. That'll probably be like on YouTube and stuff. But I got to play in this game and interview. This is our
and by the way, not a big shock that he picks the one that was nicer to him to play on the show. The other one you got to find on YouTube is deep in the.
But no.
The other guy was like, you didn't look great.
Zé Roberto was awesome. Yeah. But and we'll play that a little bit later. But
I like his jacket.
So this is Roman Weidenfeller, and let's listen.
By the way, you talking about playing in this game, song, area, input. Enjoy that free time before the baby comes. every dad is like sending like the most deep subliminal messages to you.
But this was dope.
So you got to play in a game. Enjoy.
I haven't played in a game in 45 years.
It can't hold the house.
But this is pretty dope. So here goes.
We are celebrating Der Klassiker here, the Cooligans, along with Bundesliga. And I'm here with an absolutely legendary goalkeeper for Borussia Dortmund, Roman Weidenfeller. I think I got it. I think I nailed it. Also, I have a couple questions, probably about two or three questions. First, playing in Der Klassiker, what's your experience been like? What are your favorite and maybe even bad memories of playing in such a classic match?
No, I never had bad moments on the memories. No, fine. Always this match is a title race. So, and it's very important in Germany, but all over the world. And you have a lot of high-class players. And in the end, it's always we take a look what's happened, where's the winner.
But watching it as a fan has to be a little bit different. And I've watched matches with footballers, and they want to still be in the game. I mean, I remember watching a game. I was watching a game with Ian Wright once, and there was an aerial ball in a game we were watching on television, and he literally went like this. But what, as a goalkeeper even, how do you feel when you're watching the game now as a fan?
I'm a fan from our team, and I have also the spirit for going in the game and play with the guys, and it's always a special spirit in the game. So you like to touch and you like to go inside and you help.
The other question I have, especially in Der Klassiker, I want to ask, because I've never asked this question to a goalkeeper that has faced this player, Arjen Robben. Yeah. Obviously, as Americans who watch Bundesliga, we watch Arjen Robben and we always know what he's about to do. We know the shot he's about to take. He takes the touch outside, or he brings it inside, and obviously a magic of a left foot. What have your memories been like when facing that shot and you know it's coming?
Of course, he's a great player and with an amazing shot. But sometimes you win, you lose. So I had a situation, so I keep the ball. I save the penalty against Arjen Robben, 2012. But of course, sometimes he won and shoot in, and he have amazing technique, and so it's really complicated to stop him.
Okay, and last question. So I'm a stand-up comedian, and we were teammates today in our Der Klassiker match. We were just talking about Arjen Robben and his technique. Please review my technique very quickly in maybe 10, 15 seconds. How did I do as a comedian on this pitch? Did I make you laugh? I hope I didn't.
A great player with amazing technique. So, and normally you have to come to the Bundesliga and play with us in the Bundesliga.
There it is. Roman said it himself. I mean, Dortmund, it's on you. It's on you now. So please sign me. Roman, thank you so much. And obviously, best of luck to BVB in the Klassiker.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Look at that.
There it is. Roman awesome. Weidenfeller.
I thought you were going to call him Romani Glazer.
Okay.
You remember that?
I do. But it's Romani Glazer, but okay. Somebody asked a question. Why play this today? Shouldn't this have been on yesterday's show? It would have been on yesterday's show, but there was a, what's it called? Like We weren't allowed to post the content until today. Yeah. So that's the only reason it was on. So I wanted to make sure.
Also, today we talk about games that have taken place in and around the United States. And this was taking place in Lower Manhattan.
This is technically an American soccer game. So.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's not football. That's soccer.
So I'll post the other interview a little later on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel to make sure you get that. And you'll see the subtitles and stuff. Jose Roberto. Great dude. And it was a really funny conversation. Zé Roberto, his English wasn't that great, but he spoke Spanish really well. And then he played for, because you played in Spain, obviously. But then he also spoke German. I saw him speaking to Roman, the most fluent German. I'm just like, this.
How would you know?
Because
he could have been going like Blugen, Kugen, Blugen, and he would have been like, wow, this guy.
He was speaking calmly, quickly, confidently.
He did play there for a while.
He played there for a long time, but he clearly speaks about four or five languages. It was pretty impressive. So,
yeah. They do send you to get lessons. He paid attention.
Okay. Z the Mushmouth said, any chance in the future for some USL love? Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We can get some.
I mean,
USL
I vote no, but maybe.
No, we have a lot of connects at USL and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm sure we've had some USL players on the show as well. So it's not impossible. So,
players.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up? I know. So, yeah, and a reminder, check out Der Klassiker. And thank you again, Bundesliga, for the invitation. It was really, really dope. I thought it was going to be a bunch of influencers playing soccer and stuff like that. It was literally me and nine other ex-professional athletes.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, Boosie, you need to, like, at least give me a list of who's playing before.
You're only like a former xylophone player, not a professional athlete.
Okay. I am literally an IT guy. Yeah. Bro, I don't really got the history of the resume of some of these other dudes. Because I've played in Street FC before, and a lot of people who play are very, very good. Kyle Martino was playing in this. Jeff Agus was playing as well. Mehdi Bellucci, obviously former NYCFC player. There's a little bit of like, I really don't want to disappoint these guys. I know them. But when I play on a hard court, the game is so fast. You're not playing with a futsal. The game, they're rocketing the ball to each other from like Joao Klaus distance, right? And they're like perfect control, perfect touches. And you realize like, oh, these guys are... These guys are a little bit more skilled than I do.
Yeah, they should have done this professionally.
I'm like, well, Kyle Martino, why are you still good?
Right. Were there a bunch of Mexican dudes going, boo, every time you touch the ball?
So it was a dope experience. But you know what? I did score a goal.
Come on now.
Bro, I scored a goal. It was not intentional.
You Joao Klaus?
I know.
Was it an own goal? Don't make me take back the applause.
It was an own goal. I went to pass it and, it redirected and went in goal. But yeah, but they count just the same. So I'll always have that. Right. And you saw it in the clip. I also did, put in a good challenge and take away the ball and pass it to Mehdi Bellucci. How many people can say that they've completed a pass to Mehdi Bellucci?
Only like 50, 80 people. It's not. It's a short
list.
It's
really not that
many. When you think about it in the grand scheme of things, it's a short list.
So super exciting. And again, shout out to Bundesliga and thank you for the invitation. Okay, we're gonna wrap up and we have to mention this. This is a bit of a sad note because
this is very important.
We've been sort of holding off in kind of mentioning anything
out of respect to the family and whatnot. Yeah.
So some people may know. So the shirt I'm wearing right now, the Gullius shirt. This is a lot of people bought this. But a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of our merch. All of our merch is really
has been made by On the Volley Apparel, and
which is a gentleman named Elvis Romero who hit us up very early on and was like, "Yo, you guys talk about hip hop and soccer. I have a brand that involves hip hop and soccer. I'd love to send you shirts." And very quickly, it developed into a great relationship where he's handled our merch. He handles my wife's merch. He's handled a lot of comedians' merch. Yeah. We've introduced him to a lot of people. He handles a lot of leagues in Southern California. He's a beloved member of the soccer community and someone who really believes in the connection between comedy, soccer, hip hop, and all the things that we believe in, that there was a community there and he serves that same community. Unfortunately, he is sick.
Yeah, he had a stroke and he's currently in a coma and he's been in a coma for a few weeks and it's been a huge shock to us and you know, I think
obviously for the family as well. They're really reeling from this information and you know his role as a clothing manufacturer or whatever supplier was a big deal for this family. He was really helping his family out quite a bit, so this is a really big issue.
Yeah, so right now we're sort of in a place where we're just like, you know, hoping and praying that he will get better and he will wake up. It's obviously
there's been some positive signs, some small positive signs, but nothing crazy.
So yeah, we don't have too many updates of what's going on. But Elvis is just for a long time, especially when we got started, he was one of the people that was just one of our biggest and still is just our biggest advocate. Always, talking about us to other people in Southern California. Whenever he went on any, we traveled a lot too.
He came to a lot of our away trips.
Yeah, when we would go to MLS All Star, MLS Cup, he
came to Paris.
We went to Paris and went to Messi's first PSG game. So he's just a dear friend, and this is just such a difficult time, you know, for his friends, his family, everybody's hoping for just some good news at any moment.
There is a GoFundMe as well to help support.
I don't I don't have any details of.
I was told there was a GoFundMe.
We don't have
it hasn't been finalized.
Yeah, we haven't received those details yet. But as soon as we do, we will share that with our audience. We've been kind of waiting just to get permission from the families just to mention this, you know, on a very public platform, and they gave us their blessing. But my hope is that Elvis wakes up and gets to hear this and you know just knows that we love him. We hope he gets better, and you know we're kind of praying for the family just to you know that they can get through this very very difficult time. So at the moment, look, all I would suggest is On the Volley Apparel is either on Instagram, I think where they're most do a lot of their social stuff. Like, just leave a positive message to him, to the family.
Yeah, and if you have the means, maybe buy something.
Yeah, because it'll be really helpful.
Doesn't have to be our merch or anything. They sell other stuff. Just, you know, maybe support in that way if you can. If not, maybe share the link or something. I'll find out from the brother who I've spoken to a couple of times,
right,
with regard to maybe a GoFundMe of some sort. But just know that he is loved and he has a lot of friends and family that are trying to support him in this moment. And we wish we were there to do the same thing. And we know that a lot of you have heard him on the show or been mentioned. He's been in some of our videos before. It's such a real unfortunate situation, and hopefully he comes out of it soon.
Exactly.
So have a chance to he's one of the most fun people to talk to, because every once in a while he'll just like stop paying attention and you'd be like, I don't know at what point you stop paying attention, so you have to recap. And I want to do that again.
I just hoping for some good news real soon. So yeah, On the Volley Apparel and Elvis Romero, obviously we're literally praying for the best. All right, everybody, thank you again for tuning into the show. We seriously appreciate it. Like I mentioned yesterday, I'm not certain if I will be back next week. Obviously, there is a baby on the way. We are, my wife and I are just waiting. I'm looking at my phone every couple seconds and making sure I'm not getting a call or a text from her. So this might be my last week here for the next couple weeks, but we're setting everything up. We'll have guest hosts and a bunch of other stuff while I'm away.
Yep, he's setting up a lot of babysitters for me.
So to everybody that I've gotten tons of messages from people kind of wishing the best for my wife and I, and very, very grateful. This is, I think somebody, I forgot who it was, somebody made a joke about doing a DraftKings a bet of when, like a baby pool, like when
over under
over under when the baby's gonna
good inclusion. Coors Light, get on this.
So I don't know. I don't know when the babies are supposed to arrive, but it should.
And shouts to the Give and Go, a great podcast. I'm sure you've seen a lot of their clips, but they're in the chat and they said, who is the MLS equivalent of Everton? That's the way we can go about it. Who? I'm going to ask you, the Everton fan. Who is the MLS equivalent? I'm thinking of Colorado Rapids.
No, bro. No. I mean, it'd probably be like a DC United. DC United team. Lots of history, but just the last couple of years been very, very disappointing.
Not that much history, bro. You got some history.
Who, DC or Everton?
Everton.
Everton, they have not won the Premier League, but they won the title. They've won titles before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got some history.
Just like DC
United. DC United won like 3-4 years in a row, something crazy like that.
Okay. Everton were a very good team for a long time, bro. Arsenal have been good for like the last 20 years, and all of a sudden.
Bro, we.
What are you talking about?
Only one of us got a golden trophy. Thank you very much.
Anyway.
I hope Del Boy didn't hear that.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate everybody. We'll be back next week. I definitely will. Alexis will be here for sure. And as a shout out to producer Miguelito, let's go.
Yes, sir. I'll be here as well. We'll be back.
Yes. All right. Take care, everybody.
Without him, there is no episode. Love you guys.